I'm a little nervous about trying to remember a quote that I don't have written down, but it just came to me. I think it goes something like this. I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, by the grace of God, I will do. It's somewhere in that ballpark. I'll promise you that. I'm so happy today to have Brother Roland here with us. And I'm so happy to know God is still calling good old boys, saving them and then calling them into the gospel ministry. And it gives hope for mechanics kids like me. You know, that if God can use somebody like us and God can use somebody, you know, like all the men who've committed their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ down through the years who felt like they were completely inadequate, God can still call and he can still use others, maybe just you, maybe you. This last Wednesday night, Brother Garrett, one of our own preacher boys out of our church, and now he was at a church filling in the pulpit, and now he is a prospect, a candidate for that pastoral ministry over in Grapevine. And I want you to be praying for Brother Garrett, Miss Lauren, and the kids as they work through that process. And today I'll be writing out a very detailed recommendation for this sister church. And we need, listen, we need good churches in North Texas. We really need, and I'm talking about good churches. I'm talking about good churches with good pastors. Strong men of faith who know the book and know the God of the book. We are in desperate need of that. If you haven't noticed, many churches today are nothing hardly more than entertainment societies. We're not interested in that. We're interested in honoring the God of this book and doing our best, though we will fail, but doing our best to fulfill the commission that he's given us here. And we believe it's serious. We have a good time around here, but we believe this book is serious and the charge that he's given us is serious and does this pastor now. Who's coming in 2000? I had it 21, but 2020 is when he actually went up there to Bixby, Oklahoma. Andrew, there's hope for you, you know. Bixby, Oklahoma, and started the Foundation Baptist Church. Amen. Praise God for it. Brother Roland, come preach for us.
There it is. Okay. Okay. We'll see how this is going to work here today. Okay. See, I am inadequate. I'm already messed up here today. You already seen that here. My name is Roland Bork, and I have my amazing wife with me, Tess, and our children, Daniela, Jeremiah, Isaac, and the Lord has blessed us with twin girls, Charity and Liberty. And so I am so very thankful to be back here today at New Heights Baptist Church. I love this church. I love your pastor. I consider him a great friend, and I've learned a lot from him. I learned a lot from him, and I just want to let you know you have a great pastor, and it's a blessing. It's encouraging to me of how long he has pastored and just has been in it through it all here over 30 years, and so it's a blessing. So thank you, Pastor. Here and his family is an encouragement to me. Had a, I think it was last year, had an opportunity to spend some time with Colt and his family, and so it's a blessing. It's a blessing. I am originally from Louisiana, and in 2015, I surrendered my life for full-time ministry, me and my family, and I'm thankful for a supporting wife. We moved to Florida. That's where we learned ministry. I went to Bible college there, and then in 2020, we moved from the beautiful Tampa, Florida, and we planted Foundation Baptist Church in the Tulsa area. And God has blessed. It's been 6 years. We've seen tremendous growth. We've seen the Lord do some amazing things, some miracles in our own personal life, and then also in our church. We've recently acquired a freestanding building. We were in a storefront, started in our home, and then we moved to a storefront for about 5 years. And then last year, we was able to receive a building, freestanding building, and we've remodeled it. In the process of adding an addition, and so it's been an amazing thing. It's exciting to serve God, and so I am excited to be here. I'm excited about the subject matter of missions and just being involved in it, and I hope you are as well. If you're not excited about missions, there's something wrong, okay? And I'm not trying to be mean or anything like that or rude, but missions is exciting to be a part of God's plan for worldwide missions, whether it's home missions in the United States of America. We need more church planters to go out and start churches. And in order to start churches, they are sent out of a good local church, or as well as going out throughout the world and preaching the gospel in other foreign countries, and that's learning the language and those kind of things. And so I'm excited about it. I am excited about it. Again, I'm excited about being here. And so with that being said, I want you to take your Bible and go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to start in verse number 1. Verse number 1 is where we're going to begin. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 1. It says this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. And so I'll stop there here this morning and want to speak of the responsibilities of the church. The responsibilities of the church. Here we have Paul talking to Timothy, writing Timothy a letter here, and dealing with, all throughout 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, even Titus, dealing with the matter of the responsibilities for the church, okay? And so let's pray and ask God to help us here one more time this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for today. And I do pray, God, that you would just help me as I bring your word to a great congregation here. And there's some great things going on here in this church in the matter of missions. And I do pray that you would just continue to help this church to be involved, Lord, to take another step of faith in worldwide missions. Help them to be committed. Remind us all here this morning how important it is, God. And so I thank you for it. I do pray that you would just use me in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Last year, this was our theme, preached out of this book, and our theme was the layout of the local church. The layout of the local church, and I went through it all, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, and this was before we had our building, and the Lord spoke to me about this theme, this subject matter, this book, in around October of 24, maybe November of 24, and we put together this blueprint, and it was in by no means any kind of blueprint for a building that we were getting. We were meeting in the storefront. We had No plans to get a building. We weren't acquiring one at all. If the Lord would give us one, we would be open to it. But we were in a storefront, and whenever I was putting it together, I was like, I know they're going to, I'm going to put this thing on the screen and they're going to think we're getting a building of some kind or whatever. And but all it was the mindset, the perspective was that it was, we were going to go through the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, and deal with the subject matter of what does God say about the local church? How do we act? What do we teach? What do we preach? The leadership and all these different things that we were going to deal with in 2025. And so we put this blueprint together, and it was some, I don't even know what the blueprint actually even was. I think it was actually some kind of stadium of some sort there. And I wanted to do our storefront, but we just didn't have access to that at all. And so we found something that was presentable, was clean, and it was nice, and it was first class for the Lord. And we put this together, this blueprint. We've laid it out, and it said the layout of the local church, and come to find out, the Lord had bigger plans, and so we laid it out in January. That February, we were gifted a building, and little that we knew, we were not just going to go through the layout of the local church spiritually, but we were going to have the opportunity to get in a building and actually remodel and make additions and those kind of things there. And so we were quite busy in 2025, and we come into 2026 even busier there of the matter of missions and soul winning and just trying to really continue to be faithful in what God has called us to do. And that is to see people saved. And I told our church this, is that that we can never allow a building or some kind of tangible thing be our primary focus, right? Okay, that's secondary. And I've said this with our addition. We're in the middle, almost at the tail end of our addition. And I've said this multiple times that that addition is secondary. If that there, our primary focus as a church is to see people saved, the preaching of the Word of God, their discipleship, Sunday school, faithfulness, those kind of things there. And the second we get away from that, we can be in trouble. We can be in trouble here. And so here we have Timothy here, Paul's investment. We see the results of Paul's investment. He was a disciple of Paul, and now he is pastoring a church. He's been discipled by Paul. And Paul is writing to Timothy, trying to be an encouragement to him, trying to be a help to him, and I think about, and a support to him. And I think about this church, and I'm very, very grateful and thankful for this church, how New Heights Baptist Church, and I'm not just saying it because I'm up here. I'm speaking from my heart this morning, how New Heights Baptist Church does a wonderful job supporting and training individuals for the gospel ministry. You do a good job with that there. And as this church comes to make a commitment, right, that God wants to continue to, let me say it like this, to stretch you, okay, to call you to another step of faith. I do believe that as Christians, that we are all being called by God to the next step of faith. What is God calling you to do? What's your next step of faith in your Christian life here? And as we gather together in missions, and how, man, the Word of God needs to continue to be preached and needs to be taught and needs to be brought to places all throughout the world for people to get saved. And you may not never see the results of your labor. It may cost you something. Obviously, going back to what I just said in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul reminds us that our labor is not in vain there, that God sees our work, right? God sees our labor. God sees our commitment and our faithfulness, right? Okay, it's exciting. Again, it's encouraging here to me, but it may cost you something. What are you willing to pay? What are you willing to do for the Lord? Maybe it might cost you ambitions. It might cost you dreams. It might cost you your own life. What are you willing to pay? What are you willing to pay? Timothy responded to the call through his struggles. Timothy probably was a very timid man. He was maybe a reserved man. We don't really know all the details there, but we know he's in Ephesus, a city known for idolatry, a city that's known for immorality, okay? And I think about the United States of America and how we don't necessarily have any kind of idol worship, that there is some. I'm sure there's probably a good amount of it there. But I do believe that our biggest idol in the United States of America, maybe even in the world, is self, right? Is self and being wrapped up in the tangible things of our own selves and trying to make an image of our own self. And we're not careful. We get away from the things of God as Christians, I'm talking about, okay? Even as in Christianity, that we can get wrapped up in the idolatry of self there, okay? And so Timothy has his struggles. We have our own struggles, and where there are spiritual opportunities, okay, I'm sure, I know that there are some things that we could be doing here to serve God, and where there are spiritual opportunities, missions giving, there are satanic obstacles, okay? Satan wants to destroy everything that God has put together here in your own life, in your own marriage, there, and we need to realize there has been spiritual and financial temptations and distractions, okay? I think that's one of the biggest struggles we have in Christianity is how we are so distracted, okay? We are so distracted and we can easily deviate from the importance of the gospel, okay? And so here we have, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul gives Timothy the agenda for the church. Here's how the church needs to operate, okay? Here how it is designed under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, how the church should operate. And we see in verse number 3, okay, that we see the requirements for sound doctrine, okay? You see that in verse number 3 here, that they teach no other doctrine. What you have learned, Timothy, that you stand firm on the Word of God, okay, on the Word of God. So often there are people that are deviating, that are being distracted, that are getting away from the Word of God. Pastor said it earlier here that there are churches that are just meeting even today, and it's just a big circus, okay? It's just for entertainment there. And so we need to continue to preach the Word of God. I'm thankful for Brother Daniel this morning and just his Sunday school class. It was an encouragement to me and a help to me. And that's what a church should be teaching. Every single week, if not every single day here, is the Word of God there, so people can learn the Word of God. And he uses the word charge, Paul does, as a meaning a military word that gives strict orders from the king. Now, Paul's not the king, right? Our king is Jesus Christ, and that's who he's referring to, is that we have been given strict orders from the Lord Jesus Christ to carry on the Great Commission. Okay, everybody listening here, are we good still? Okay, it's very important that this church stands on God's word here. As soldiers, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, Paul encourages Timothy, okay? Again, I do believe that he was a little bit timid. He was a little bit reserved, and Paul encourages Timothy, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, what does a soldier go through? Warfare, right? A soldier goes through struggles. He goes through pain. He might get injured along the way there, and that we continue to fight and to move forward for the gospel ministry, okay? That we take action here. Doctrine, it's a teaching of a specific subject. Now, let me warn you here that it does divide people that don't want to submit to this doctrine here. But it also, this is the encouraging part, it unifies. It unifies. It brings people together that want to follow it. And here we have a great congregation here, a great group of people that want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ from different backgrounds, different walks of life there, coming together. I think that is the most beautiful thing in the world, is when people come together from all walks of life, different backgrounds, and come together that are in sync, that are one accord, following the Lord Jesus Christ there. Doctrine explains and reveals who God is. That's why he has given us this book here. He has revealed himself to us. And if a man loves God, knowing a little about him, he should love God more and more from learning him more and more. For every new thing about God is a new reason to love him more. Right? Okay, this is his love book that he's given us. That's why it's so important to teach sound doctrine, because what we learn about the Bible is everything. It's important. Everything, okay? Everything that, so we need to continue to learn, to teach, okay? As we, you know, we're talking about the responsibilities of the church. As we learn the Word of God, it is now your responsibility from what you have learned to go and teach that learning experience, that education, that understanding that you have just learned from Sunday school today. Even you might be learning a little bit here. You might learn something new here today, and that you learn that, you understand it, you remember that, and now it is your responsibility to go out and teach and preach what you have learned. God, there's an accountability there. We should be going, okay? We should be not just going, but giving at the same time in order to fulfill the Great Commission, okay? And that we have to, it's important. We have to carve time out, right? If we're going to go, if we're going to give, if we're going to get behind really what God has called us to do, we're going to have to carve time. We're going to have to make sacrifices there. How far are you willing to go for the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, that we have to put in effort. If you're not doing it, you're not putting in any effort. That what God has called us to do. It's twofold, right? It's going, okay, going out. Whether you knock doors and lead people to Christ, or you go and you invite people. You are a witness at your workplace, right? We've learned this. This is nothing new here. But we are called to be a witness, right? That is the going aspect there. That is the action behind it, okay? We need to go. And so that's one. And then number two is that we give. We give. That is how you reach the world for Christ, is that we go and then also we give to those that are going in other countries there. And so we need to be full force in this there. And if you're only going to do one of the two, whether you go out and I see Christians doing this often. I hope it's not we don't put in no effort where we don't do any of it. We don't invite people to church and we don't give to missions. But also what I see, what is really common, is you do half of it. You either go out and you tell people about the Lord, and that makes you, that fulfills your role as a Christian, as the, fulfills your responsibility as far as following the Great Commission. Or you don't go out and give. I mean, you don't go out and tell people about the Lord, but you give to worldwide missions. That's good, okay? That is good, but it's only half. Okay, it's only halfway. It's only 50%. Now we're in the great state of Texas, and I don't think Texans are known by doing something halfway. Can I get an amen on that? Right? When we do it, is that right? Or are we halfway people here in Texas? No, right? I do believe when Texans get behind some, they do it full force. Right? They go and they're committed to it there, and they do a great job. Amen. Okay. And now let me just kind of explain something here. I'm not an Okie and I'm not a Floridian. I'm a Cajun, okay? And so, God has put me in a position where I've been able to be in Florida, and I love it. And now I pastor a church in the great state of Oklahoma, and I love that. But I'm born and raised. I'm a Cajun man there. And I love the great state of Texas, by the way, here as well. But we need to get behind this preaching and teaching of the Bible. This might seem like common sense stuff, but so many Christians, I'm telling you, so many Christians have gotten away from the preaching and teaching of this book here, and have gone to their own selfish desires there. They are willing to trade good Bible teaching in exchange of what they want in their life or in their own church. And this is what Paul is saying. This is what Paul is saying. Stay sound to the word there. We are required. That is the first thing. I mean, this is important because this is what Paul opens up with here in the letter. He says, stay in the book here. Don't teach no other doctrine. Why is he saying that? Because there are other doctrines around. If he's warning him, if Paul is warning Timothy about not getting away from good biblical doctrine, that means that there were other teachings around during that time. And so and it's the first thing that he pretty much says. He introduces himself, and then he says it there. And so we are required to stay sound to the Word of God. But also, and really it goes hand in hand with what we're talking about, but to resist silly distractions. Look at verse number 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Okay, so unprofitable questions and conversations that are foolish. All right, now the Bible is silent sometimes on some things, and so we should remain silent on those. We don't need to get wrapped up and assume and all this other stuff. If we don't make sound doctrine a priority, then we will get away of what God has for us here. So don't allow, let me say two things here. Don't allow things to prevent you from the things of God, okay? Also, don't allow things to persuade you differently of what the Bible says. A lot of conservative groups, including our president, has been calling the media fake news for some time. And I agree with it, okay? I agree with it. And so as conservatives there, I think even conservatives can get persuaded by other conservative groups that are not aligned with the Word of God. Now, I understand that I'm going to be in some dangerous water, but it's fine here. I feel like the Lord's leading me to that, because there's a lot of podcasts and different YouTube videos and different things out there that talk about other things that are not primarily focused on the Word of God. Let me give you a couple of them, okay? Things like Sean Ryan, Ben Shapiro, Joe Rogan, Tucker Carlson, Turning Point, okay? Some of these are good conservative groups, right, that are opposite of the liberals out there. But at the same time, listen to me, at the same time, it can distract us from the things of God, right? Okay? All right? And so if this is what you spend your time doing, and you never read your Bible, or you read your Bible 5 or 10 minutes a day there, and you don't go out soul winning, but you're watching YouTube videos like this, you are distracted. Okay, you are distracted, and I think we can all fall into this category, and we can get into these. This is what Paul is saying: do not get wrapped up with endless questions that really have no answer to them. Right. Be content with, hey, look, I understand that the government is corrupt and is crooked. We need to be praying for our government there. And so Paul tells Timothy, don't waste your time on that foolishness. I'm not saying don't ever watch the news. We need to watch the news. We need to understand the weather. We need to understand what's going on in our government, right? We need to understand some of that stuff there. But that is not our primary focus. Right, that is not our primary focus there, and so I sure hope that makes sense here today. That we study our Bible, and if the Bible is silent on that matter, then be content with its silence. If it's broad and it's loud in that subject matter, then we must follow it and we must be obedient to that. And if that's what the Bible speaks about primarily, and guess what the Bible speaks about primarily? It's missions, it's going out and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, it's soul winning and that type of matter there. And so this was the emphasis in Jesus' life in a matter of going and telling people, all right? This was the emphasis in our Savior's life, all right? And whenever, listen to me, whenever he got kind of cornered and asked from the religious leaders about different subject matters and kind of trick questions, he didn't really waste much time on that. He actually rebuked them and gave them the truth, okay? And so that's the emphasis. That was the emphasis in our Savior's life, which was should be enough for us. This was an emphasis in Paul's life in a matter of missions. And so we have to keep the main thing as a church, and to focus on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We just celebrated Easter, and let's not allow that message, that mentality to get away from us, even though Easter is over and it's past us. The resurrection should not be past us. It should not get away from us there. We should continue to go and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be praying for Brother Drinkert as he's coming next week, and how he has been faithful to the state that's north of Oklahoma, Kansas. And so, and that's a blessing. That's a blessing. We have men and churches and just God is doing some great things. And I'm excited about it here. And so that we should not get distracted and get away from the things of God. Paul is dealing with this matter. He says they have deviated from the truth. They have swerved unto vain jangling. Okay, you see that in verse number 6, from which have some swerved away. They have gotten away from the truth, meaning that they were on track. They were following the truth. They were plugged in. They were faithful. And then all of a sudden, they've exited. They've detoured. They've swerved unto this emptiness. You know, vein jangling, I almost brought it. I have a chain, I think, of some sort. And I think, Jeremiah, you made it for me. And there's different pieces of metal all in it there. And you just, you know, you shake it and it just makes a bunch of noise. And that's what it is, right? That's what vein jangling is. It's just this empty, vain, obnoxious amount of noise. And truth be told, that's what's going on with a lot of Christians and churches today. They're just making noise. They're not preaching the truth there. They have deviated to that. And isn't that sad that there have been good Christian men, good Christian women, good Christian families there, good people that were on track. Again, they have swerved away from it. They were on the right track and they have swerved away from this emptiness, this vain, whether it's sin or some kind of false teaching. This is Paul's perspective here, talking to Timothy. Don't get into this false doctrine, okay? Whether it's sin of any kind, there they've swerved off the road. They've deviated. They have detoured. They've been distracted. Don't let this world distract you, church. Do not let this world, don't let your career, don't let someone else distract you from the things of God. How often does that happen there? This empty noise, this fruitless discussions. How often as Christians we are guilty of this, where we just talk and talk and talk and talk about these conspiracy groups there. God has given us something to say, okay? You listening to me? God has given us something to say and something to do, and we need to get with it. We need to get, and you do a great job, okay? You do a good job. You have been a support to Foundation Baptist Church. I'm very thankful for that there. I'm not saying you haven't done anything. You've done a lot, but there's more to do. Okay, there's a lot more to do. There's a lot more to be a part of there. And so Paul deals with this result in love. In verse number 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither would they say nor would they affirm. But we know, I'm sorry, verses number 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith. Unfeigned. If we're going to do something right, it's going to result in love. If we truly love the Lord, we're going to get with it. Jesus demonstrated that and explained it so well. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. He demonstrated it by carrying his cross, right? Being nailed to the cross for our sins, sacrificing himself for the sake of others. That's true love. True love is loving others when they least expect it. And least deserve it. That's grace. That's grace. When they don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. I don't deserve this as much as what I have done in my own past. I don't deserve to stand behind a pulpit of any kind and preach God's word. As much sin as I have done and much wrong I have done. But there's grace. And I think we need to learn that. We need to wrap our mind around that. Is that we have grace to those that don't deserve it. Jesus demonstrated that love as he was nailed to the cross. Love is the overflow of joy. Love is the overflow of joy in God, which gladly meets the needs of others. There, it's a joy to serve God. There's nothing like it. I've been around and lived for the world. You probably have the same testimony. Maybe if you haven't, praise God. That I've lived in the world, drugs and all these other different things, and God has rescued me from that. He has helped me with that. He's given me a wife to be a blessing to me and a support to me. And we can't forget God's love for people. I have to remind myself this, is that I have to love people. As a pastor, I have to love people as God loves people, right? God loves John 3, right? I have to love people as God loves people. And sometimes that's hard to do, right? Because people stab you in the back, they'll lie, they'll steal, they'll cheat, they'll do all of this stuff. But as much as we have done wrong, in the eyes of God, God still loves us. Amen. That is an amazing love. And I don't condone sin or anything like that. I hope you understand this here today. But we have to love people as God loves people. We must be in a reflection of God's love by giving and supporting people that are spreading the gospel all around the world. There might not know them too well, but we trust that they're going to do a great work in the field that God has called them to. And we get behind that. We trust that God will use them for His honor and glory. And that's important. As a Christian, I do believe this, is that we use what God has given us for a ministry. Okay? All right? So are everybody still with me here? Okay? Listen, this is important, okay? That we use what God has given us as a ministry. So if God has given you two feet, God has given you two arms, if God has given you a great job, if God has given you a car, if God has given you a good career, if God has given you a family, if God has, whatever it is, right? If God has given you talent and skill and ability to sing and speak, and if God has given you the strength in math or language arts or whatever it is, right? The list goes on, right? We all have strengths and weaknesses. And as I look throughout this congregation here today, God has blessed you with gifts and talents and ability and tangible things. Here I've even tried to use the great Breville coffee machine that your pastor introduced me to as a ministry, as a help, as a to bring honor and glory to the Lord, right? So you use what God's given you for His honor and glory there, to see people saved, to see people encouraged, to disciple people there. It's a blessing that we continue to invest in people, and we love God as God loves people. We love people as God loves people. And I think about one of our members of our church here today, Brother Tyler. And Brother Tyler, his grandparents lived across the street. They still do. They live across the street from us where we live. And he would come periodically, and I didn't know him. Got to meet him. He got into some trouble and some got charged, got arrested, or whatever the case may be. And he was in trouble. And I would be an encouragement to him. I would be a witness to him. And he was on our prayer list for several years. And he was lost, didn't know Christ as his Savior, totally rejected Christ as his Savior. And over time, I think it's 4 years since I've known him, five years. And last year, he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior, got to lead his wife to Christ. And they are fundamental, they are so important to me, great assets of Foundation Baptist Church. He'll be leading music tonight. He'll be our song leader in our services tonight in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Here, you never give up on people. You continue to invest. You continue to. There's hope. We've read that here. And so it comes from a pure heart that we become genuine Christians there, and that we have a good conscience. You see that? That we are conscious about the things of God there. Tomorrow is going to be Monday, and we're going to be busy with work, busy with things around the house there, but that we have a conscience for the things of God, the ministry that God has placed us in, that it is faith unfeigned. You see that with me here? A genuine and sincere faith, a realness that we don't just put on a front. And Paul taught the Corinthian church, he said that we perform the doing of it, talking about faith promise that we teach, right? That don't just talk about it, but do it. Perform the doing of it, so the work of God can prosper, right? So the work of God can prosper. There's families and tribes and different people all around the world that are needing the Word of God. They're needing the gospel. I think about Iran even today that needs the gospel, right? You know, we're so quick to just bomb them all. They need the Word of God there. They need missionaries. And I don't know if any missionary are going. I'm not really sure. I'm just thinking. Just the Lord put it on my heart last night about the area of Iran and just that area there that is just, you know, there's so much friction and false doctrine that's being promoted there and being pumped through. And man, we need the gospel. That is the answer to the lost and dying world there, that we don't give up on people. We don't give up on those people in Iran. God can save those people, right? Just like He can save anybody that's lost here today. And so that is the responsibility of the church, of New Heights Baptist Church. The responsibility is that we continue to preach the Word of God, that it is required of us, sound doctrine. That we get away, we resist those silly distractions. They're silly, right? They're endless. Not going to get anywhere with them. There's a lot of that stuff. You just type in YouTube, and here they're all. Or you get on the podcast. They're there. Can you learn stuff from there? Sure, you can. Yeah, you can. But a lot of that stuff is, it can be a distraction from the primary focus of what God has called us to do, right? Okay? And that we love the Lord. That is the end result. That is what makes or breaks us is do we truly have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we truly love His Word? Do we truly have a love for missions there? Or we just do it just to do it? No, have a love for it. Be a part of it there. Pray about missions trips. Pray about missions. Maybe God has been burdening your heart, tugging on your heart, speaking to your heart about being a missionary. I'm not sure what God is doing in your own heart. But I will say this, that there is nothing like serving God. There is nothing like serving God there. There is nothing like it. And so let's fulfill. Let's get behind. Let's take that next step of faith of what God is calling this church to do. Pastor.